Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at acsmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at The Only Colors. Today is Monday, February 3rd, and Felton Davis III is a world champion, a Super Bowl champion. Slightly more success than he found in his time at Michigan State.
He did win a land grant trophy.
True, which begs the question, what trophy is better? The land grant or the Super Bowl trophy?
I think Felton deep down knows the answer to that one.
Yeah, I would agree. He had more of an impact on the land grant as well. But hey, 1 year, one ring, pretty good deal for old Felton.
Yeah, and imagine when he's back from his shoulder injury. And like he's a, like, the Chiefs could get better.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Because
he's
worth, if the salary cap goes, nothing.
Yeah.
And he can contribute right away.
Hey, Sammy Watkins also might just chill and take a year off, as he said. So
I think people should do more sabbaticals.
I fully support the sabbatical life. Honestly, I'm very excited to take my first sabbatical in 30 some odd years. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I think we should start thinking about retiring in our 20s and working late into our 70s, because at that point,
just hanging out.
What are we really doing?
We're here to hang out. We're coming into the office. Nothing's getting done.
Right.
So what's really different? Chris Borland really had it figured out. He's like, NFL for a year, got about $1 million, sure, probably a little north. And then he's like, you know what? I'm out.
I'm just going to pack this up.
Pack this up. No concussions, no nothing.
Probably found a nice financial investor,
one would assume. So, yeah, I think we'll start this by saying this is our retirement show.
Yeah.
We're retiring.
Maybe.
Now that we've, you know.
We've transferred to Megaphone.
We have. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for staying with us as we moved away from SoundCloud. And apparently we still have, thumbnails that should.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Listen, we're trying.
Despite what people are saying, no, Chris Vanini and no, Dom Garrett are not involved in this podcast any longer. Mm. It's been John and I's for, I don't know, 3 years now.
I kind of like, it's almost better that we haven't changed it.
It's certainly on brand.
I think it has a little character.
If you think there's a lot of preparation that goes into this, boy, you are sorely mistaken, except for John's part. He does a lot.
Nah, well.
Guys, all right. So Felton Davis, one former Spartan, achieving quite a bit this weekend. Some other former Spartans before we dive into the basket hoops. I guess we are diving into the basket hoops and the professional variety. Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson coming to a city very near us, literally our city, here in Chicago. All-Star Weekend coming up soon. Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges named to the Rising Stars game on Team U.S.
So I know what I'm doing on Friday, February 14th.
Folks, definitely not Valentine's Day.
This is the event. And I would encourage you to explain to your, if you have a partner, that this is the date.
Important.
And I wonder if who might be... So Miles and Jaren, are they in the same team, do we know?
They are. So it's they changed it, I want to say, 1 or 2 years ago, and they made it U.S. versus international.
Okay.
Because there are so many talented players on both sides of that ball now. So on the U.S., by the way, I looked through these rosters earlier. I have a clear favorite. But we'll start with the world. The world is represented by Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Was unaware that he was not from the America.
Just
DeAndre Ayton, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, Luka Doncic,
yum,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Rui Hachimura, Svi Mykhailiuk.
Oh, hey.
Josh Okogie and Mo Wagner.
Oh, no.
So that's pretty good. But on the other side, Miles Bridges, Wendell Carter, Devontae Graham, Tyler Hero, Jaren, Ja Morant, Kendrick Nunn, Eric Paschal, PJ Washington, and the last two, Zion Williamson and Trae Young.
Trae Young?
Yeah.
He's not an All-Star?
I guess not.
Can he be both?
He probably should be. Even though his team's won like 9 games. So who do you got?
I'm going, Team USA all the way.
Right, obviously.
But there is a part of me that sees Luka doing the damn thing.
Luka's pretty darn good, as is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But I mean,
this is the rising
Zion, Trae Young, Ja, Young Jaren. Ja.
I gotta say, the Rising Stars game is, for me, sometimes more entertaining. I mean, it is a brilliant operation.
I would totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful way to like get people excited and attached to the exciting young players in the game.
Well, and it does a lot for a lot of markets that don't have an all-star. They can at least point to something, like the Hornets are like, we have Devontae Graham and Miles Bridges. Does that do anything for you?
And PJ Washington.
They have three.
They've got three. Almost as many wins as they have, but that's not the point.
You know I'm about Buzz City.
Yeah, heck yeah.
I bought the tea. So we'll watch that. That's what we're doing Friday the 14th.
Yep.
There were a couple games. We're going to talk through them. A couple funny ones for different reasons. Michigan State won in a laugher 79-50 over Northwestern last week. I think the most important takeaway for this game for me was Foster Lawyer's not 4 3-pointers, but his facial hair.
It's not good, John. Listen, we are a very pro Foster podcast.
And a pro live your life.
And like, a pro do you podcast.
Uh-huh.
Foss. Foss, listen. I know shaving sucks.
It's tough.
I haven't had a clean shaved face more than 2 times in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But buddy,
mm.
I know I can't buy you razors because you're in college.
Right.
If I could, I would. I would get you a Harry's Razors or whatever.
Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you, it's worth a dollar. It's not a good look for old Foss. I like the little goatee when he does the goatee because he looks 28 and he's 19.
And he gets a clean fade like Steven Izzo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got some swag, but boy, that's the scruffle.
Hey.
Not where you want to be.
So I'm going to take the other.
Unless you're going to keep hitting threes, then I'm in.
I was going to say, I'm going to take the other side on this. Foster banged 4 threes in this game.
Hey.
We may need to consider a nickname.
Mm.
And I don't know how you feel about Fossy Bear.
I like it.
But let's give it a shot.
Yeah, Fossy Bear, Big Foss. Well, I think Big Foss is funny because he's
not
big.
He's not. And that's the joke.
But that's the folks. There it is. Yeah, this one was we'll talk about him later, but I've got a
I already know exactly
I know, yeah.
who you want to talk about.
This was one of those games at the beginning, and this is becoming like an unfortunate trend where Michigan State just kind of doesn't, I don't, not that they don't take their opponent seriously, they don't have that step on your neck moment early when they can bury a team early.
Yeah.
They got up like 16-4 or something like that right out the
gate.
And
let them inch back in.
Beautiful. Northwestern puts all their eggs in the first half basket. It looks physically painful for them to score the basketball, and yet it's a close game at halftime.
Yeah, well, close relative
to halftime. It was like a 7-point game, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
and then Michigan State hits like 2 straight threes.
Yes.
And so Michigan State wins running away, but as you mentioned, kind of a casual start. We'll touch on that in a minute.
Yeah, and then they just blew the doors off in the second half, which was great.
So funny situation. Cassius actually had a rough game. One assist, 5 turnovers, 18 points, which is obviously a good thing. But, you know, and a lot of it came on the 4-for-7 three-point shooting, which is an interesting thing to point out. Three-point shooting for this team trending up so much so that they have cracked the top 100, which was, at the beginning of the year, seemingly impossible. If you remember, they were bricking left and right. Now up to shooting above 35% from three. That's almost good.
Almost.
I mean, for me, I love me some 37%, but you cannot deny the team has been trending up in the three-point shooting.
They have certainly improved their three-point shooting.
But it's coming, potentially, we'll talk about this, it's a lot of it is because Cassius Winston is taking more threes, which is good.
And a lot of that is becoming because Cassius Winston is playing more off the ball.
Which is leading to less assists for the team as a total.
Indeed.
And we don't know if that's a problem quite yet. But
I think we're getting to, and I think we might as well just listen, okay, just to put a bow on this one, Northwestern stinks out loud.
I want to talk about one more person, though.
Okay.
Rocket.
That's who I was going to talk about.
Baby, what is you doing?
Okay, so that actually transitions us into Wisconsin a little bit. So Rocket in this game, though, we'll use him as our little bridge from game to one game to another. You really got the full Rocket Watts experience here this week.
Because no middle.
None. There is no such thing as a decent game from Rocket Watts anymore. He is
this is the norm.
Horrible, and I mean to the tune of 1 of 7, 3 charges, 0 for 5 from 3, 1 of 7 from the floor.
3 turnovers.
3 turnovers, 1 assist.
Tough.
In 14 minutes. Credit to him. Got his shots up. A shot every 2 minutes. Pretty good.
Efficient.
Pretty good. And 3 charges that are not included on those shots, by the way. So Rocket certainly, listen, he smelled blood in the water. Couldn't take advantage of it. Fast forward to Wisconsin. You can make a very strong case. Actually, you can't make an alternate case. This game is a blowout without Rocket Watts. Mm-hmm. Hits 4 threes, goes 6 of 13 from the field. Took 10 threes. Maybe too many, but hit 4 of them.
Is he, in his head, ever taken too many threes?
Those aren't words that go sequentially together for him.
When Gabe Brown is talking to you about shot selection.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. So
there's a flag up. What the color of that flag is, we're not sure. But there's something's happening. Cassius and Rocket really...
did it all.
Kept them in this game. They combined for 39 points. But to your point here, only combined for 3 total assists.
Mm.
Leading assist man in this game, well, before we get to him, Rocket, though, no assists on this game.
Not his style.
He played well. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. He did what he needed to do in this situation. But if Cassius is only going to get 3 assists and Rocket's not going to get any, you only lost this game by a point. It's a game you should have won.
Yeah,
but when Xavier Tillman's leading the way with 5 assists, it's not good. And let's talk about this game on the whole, though.
Okay, we'll talk about the game on the whole. We wasted the Rocket fire game.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's also a problem when you're relying on Rocket
mm-hmm.
to win the game, which is what kind of happened there for a little bit.
Yep.
To keep him in it. Have I ever told you about the game? I think we must have talked about this on past podcasts like years ago, but especially earlier in Russell Westbrook's career, I used to play a drinking game. The beginning of any Russell Westbrook game, you would call it good Russ, bad Russ. And I would be good. I would pick good or bad, or you would be the opposite. And you just watch the game and you'd both have a beer. And when Russ did something good, and if I was good, I'd take a drink. Same for you with bad. Every possession is one of the two things. There's no in the middle play for Russell Westbrook. It's either amazing and good or horrible and bad. Rocket Watts is kind of becoming that. And if you want to have a beer, I encourage you to play good Rocket, bad Rocket.
Yeah, he is, the polite term is high variance. He's extremely high variance.
I haven't seen a player like it.
No, it's not a typical...
Well, it's Carson Edwards Light, man.
I know. I hate it. I hate it.
It's what it is.
It's my least favorite archetype of player. Like, I was thinking about this. This is an interesting discussion. Like, I was thinking about building an NBA or a collegiate team, kind of what you want the archetype of each position to be. Mm-hmm. The ones I always come back to are, and this might date me a little bit, but Tyson Chandler is my 5.
Okay.
He's the perfect center. He's the best center that's, in terms of what you need from a center, he's perfect.
I very much can't wait for your tweet thread on why Tyson Chandler should be in the Hall of Fame. It's written.
It's done. It's been in the drafts for years. His run when the way he played off of Dirk when the Mavericks beat the Heat is one of the best seasons you'll ever get from a center. But one of my least favorite archetypes, potentially the only one I really don't even like, is what Rocket Watts is. So it's very strange for me because he's not a Michigan State player. He's very Marcus Taylor. Like, Marcus Taylor was similar in this regard. And I think the only thing that Michigan State has that's keeping him from being Marcus Taylor is Cassius Winston. Like, a very good player, but inefficient, mm-hmm. When I think of what Michigan State needs more than anything from him right now, it's him being Travis Trice.
Mm.
You could really use that guy. that is just a confident, and this isn't senior year Travis Trice we're talking about. We're talking about freshman through junior year where he's just like...
Media loves Trice.
Just a really nice backup.
Do you remember?
You don't need him doing anything. The ball doesn't even need to spin when he shoots it.
Do you remember that? Do you remember when Rex Road like started Media Loves Trice, hashtag MLT? They would all gush over him like doing... It was such like an old dad. Mm-hmm. Be like... Nice player.
Yes.
Plays within himself.
Oh, he
doesn't stir the pot.
Nope. He's exactly what you want. Here's the best way to think about him, and I would love it if all of the players on my team were like this. You don't have to worry about him.
Not neutral.
You don't have to worry about Travis. He's going to give you something. He's not going to give you some things, but he is going to give you something. And I wish more than anything that MSU had a guy like that this year, because Trice could play some two. He could play some one. He was a great backup, but you didn't feel bad when he was out there running the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, give Foster credit. He has made his way to playability, but still has major liabilities as part of his game.
Sure.
Rocket is just not a natural. He's a combo guard if there's ever been one.
Yeah.
And so that guy doesn't exist right now, and that's really what Michigan State lacks. And I think you lack a guy that allows Cassius to play off the ball. And Rocket is kind of your pseudo band-aid for that. Mm-hmm. And Foster is your other band-aid for that. So I think it creeps up and shows itself in games like this one against Wisconsin. But let's just talk about this game in general. Do you want to do the thing right now that we talked about?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a really hard conversation. A lot of people don't want to hear about it.
They don't.
You know, and they don't want to hear both sides. This is interesting. Yeah, when I say that, I mean people don't want to hear. People are in no mood right now.
You know what? People have had it up to here.
Yeah, up to here on their last nerve.
Yeah,
and you know, some people. It seems like people don't want to hear the good, and quite frankly, don't also want to hear the bad either, because that no one wants either.
No one really wants to hear anything.
So
I just want to be mad.
So hang up, everyone. Turn off the pod. Yeah. But we're gonna take a look at this really quickly because. The casual starts.
Yep.
Okay, so let's do it.
There is no escaping whether you are on the positive or the potentially, I don't even want to call it negative.
Mm-hmm.
Skeptic, conservative side.
Okay.
It doesn't matter which side you're on, this is an issue. No matter what.
Six losses this year, five were because of casual starts. The Kentucky game, not a problem for me.
No, I won't. No.
The other five, Virginia Tech, didn't come. Yep. Didn't wake. Duke at home, didn't show up.
Yep.
At Purdue, didn't show up. At Indiana, didn't show up. At Wisconsin, didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so five, right? And, you know, to steal a line from Remember the Titans, and people aren't going to like this. Attitude reflects leadership. Now, this is Cassius Winston's one knock. Is that he is able to be very casual and still have a great game. Walk into any place casually,
mm-hmm.
and not be the fired up guy, not get everyone focused, because that's just not how he does things, okay? Fortunately, not everyone is him. So the leadership of the team, him, you kind of reflect that sometimes, and you walk into games a little too casual. And Izzo and Dwayne Stevens and Fife, the yelling, it only does so much, and then it's tuned out, right? You can only do the same speech so many times. So who is the guy?
We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this earlier in the season, and it was one of those things where you saw it happen
once.
And it was Xavier Tillman screaming at Gabe Brown. And I remember we specifically talked about that here because it seemed like almost like this watershed moment, mm-hmm. of, okay, now they've got their vocal leader.
So let's look around, because it can only be him, because Joshua Langford can't come from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As much as I'd like CG to be the guy, senior.
I don't know.
It's not going to have the same pull. Kyle Lawrence hasn't played.
Right.
It's not him. It could be him.
It absolutely could.
But right now it's not. So you go down the list, and who the only person that it could be, simply couldn't do it at Wisconsin, because if Xavier Tillman in his 3-for-15 shooting night is yelling at me, buddy, look at yourself.
I'm not hearing it.
I'm not hearing it from you. So it was an interesting, all of that, and then you couple on top of that the fact that Aaron Henry kind of no-showed, And the solve for his no-shows is Gabe Brown. Mm-hmm. Energy off the bench. He has the flu. Not making excuses. I'm just saying it was a weird
mishmash
of problems that all came together there.
You didn't have, I mean, okay, so let's just go back and look at the actual problem again is these slow starts. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you would argue, Duke and Purdue aside, of the six losses, I even would look at, I'll include Kentucky in this. I think in those other four games, Michigan State's a better team. I don't really think you would find, you'd get pushback, or if not the better team, clearly not a blowout-worthy inferior team. But you let teams just get these leads on you, and you don't have to be better than a team to hold a 20-point lead. You just have to not be 21 points worse than them.
So how do you stop that?
First of all, I'll be making some shots early on. I mean, Wisconsin, I actually have to give Greg Gard credit because he defensively, if you notice at the beginning of that game, all the shots that were going up mm-hmm. were Aaron Henry and Xavier.
That's what they wanted.
And if you are, yeah, and if you're an opponent of Michigan State and you can keep Cassius Winston from shooting the ball, you can keep Gabe Brown from shooting the ball, and keep Rocket Watts from shooting the ball, you're winning. You're winning that point.
Yeah, and so the other piece is Greg Gard, quite frankly, has to be happy with Rocket Watts shooting.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sub, going into that game, 28-29% three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Let it fly, kid.
Right.
We want that. And then to Rocket's credit, he hit some, he missed some too, and that's them's the breaks, right? Aleem Ford, your guy, hit a couple threes.
Yep.
Sub 30% three-point shooter. They made shots too.
They made a bunch of shots. They made some shots in the first half, and it almost felt like one of those. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get a couple of those every year. It seems to always happen on the road. It seems to always happen against what feels like inferior opponents. Or it's just a day where they make a lot and a day where you miss a lot.
The
problem is, if this was an isolated incident, I would chalk this game up to that. The way I chalked Purdue up to that.
Yeah.
But now we've seen this at Purdue, we've seen this at Indiana, and we've seen it at Wisconsin. That is no long. You can't just explain those away.
Nope.
Because the trend is the same in all three.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been able to overcome it in any of them. Now, they've been literally 3 point. What, they lost Indiana by two?
Four, I think.
Four? Okay, so they've been 5 points away in the last two. So from alleviating that issue and being so good that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But here's two things. I guess if you really want to put, this is a hell of a spin zone, but the margins are getting closer. They didn't get blown out against Indiana or Wisconsin, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of those teams, I mean, Indiana maybe makes the tournament. I don't think Wisconsin's making the tournament.
Well,
maybe makes the tournament. But as we look forward and you think about March, skip through the Big Ten, which we will talk about and still is taken very seriously. Skip ahead to March. You have to win six neutral court games against teams that are, you know, your first two are going to be ranked, probably be lower seeds than you. And you're going to have that bullseye on your back, and they're going to come out firing. If you don't answer, you could go home in the first weekend. It could very easily happen. We've seen better Michigan State teams lose in the first weekend before. So my issue and my cautiousness comes from the fact that it's not just happening once now. It's happened three times, and these situations where it's one of those days, that happens in March a lot.
So... all right, all valid points. Quick solves. Tom will never do it. It's time to consider a timeout. He'll never do it. But at the end of the day, you can't. He has played the trust card too many times and didn't work. The team bit him.
Yeah.
He trusted them. Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, whoever you want to blame it on, was not able to get control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to take control of the situation. There's one area. A timeout doesn't solve anything. It doesn't guarantee anything. But here's what we do know. If you don't, think bad things keep happening.
And I think this is where, I don't even want to call it conspiracy theorists, but most Michigan State fans have dabbled with the idea that Tom Izzo enjoys losing games during the big, or he puts his teams in situations where...
which is great.
At disadvantages. And I think it's not a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
To say that that's what he's been attempting to accomplish by not calling these timeouts is he's trying to let his team go through adversity in order to
and that's okay.
make it out the other side.
And that's okay.
It's not working.
it's not working. And so now he and everyone has learned this team needs help.
Yep.
And that's okay. Another point that we should hit on, while I was hammering Cassius a little bit for being a casual Cassius, as Tom Izzo says, hey, that's who he is. Now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a shortcoming. You got to play to your team, mm-hmm. right? One thing that's being lost in all of this, and like in the fact that MSU is fandom, I feeling is having a woe is me. This team isn't who we thought they were. Like, the sky is falling. Is that the Big Ten is not just good; it's literally the best it's been since KenPom has been keeping track of the conference. Okay, that's not hyperbole. Mm-hmm. It is as deep of a conference as it's literally ever been. The net rankings, 10 teams are in the top 40.
Yeah.
Michigan State is in first place today. I'm just setting the scene.
I think people probably see it and think about it relative to the average. Yeah, I think it's important to remember, I think, within college basketball, that like the overall caliber, perhaps, of teams nationwide changes and can change drastically from year to year.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If you look at this Michigan State team and compare it to some of the teams that were in the tournament last year, there's honestly not even that much reason for hope if you put this team in last year's field.
Yep.
But
I agree.
This year, in this year's field, am I more skeptical than I was coming into this week? Absolutely 100%. But that's not to say that, A, Michigan State can't prove that this is the typical blip they have every year and that playing in the Big Ten is going to get them all these advantages, because it very well could. But they are playing in a much more difficult conference. I think the hard part for me to grasp is that it's not like the three teams they lost to are part of this elite caliber
of team. No, they're not.
That's the problem.
Okay.
And you still face a lot of those teams coming up. So you got to this question. I mean, it is worth talking about moving forward now. When do you become a believer again? Not necessarily a believer again, because I tweeted on Saturday, and I kind of stand by this, that like this team has the look of a Sweet 16 type of team to me.
Today.
Sitting here today. And that's fine. Most years, I mean, listen, how spoiled are we?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all about expectations. We say it all the time here. You came into this year ranked number one.
Mm-hmm.
We all had realistic expectations of a national championship. You and I have openly talked about it. And knowing that, it's hard not to express some level of disappointment or more caution than you did before.
Mm-hmm.
But now moving forward, you had a question for me. And I guess I'll ask you, where do you stand on that?
On national championship?
Yeah, like have your expectations changed at all? Or your confidence level?
Yeah, Saturday, I was team everybody relax until Saturday. And now I have recalibrated. As the first time I will have taken a step back and I would say admitting to some of the faults and warts that I was maybe unwilling to truly look in the eye. We have seen worse Michigan State teams go to the Final Four than this.
I would agree with that.
And I don't know if it's fair on February 3rd to judge a Michigan State team, if only because if there's anything that Tom Izzo teams have taught us, is that the team that is on February 3rd is not the team on March 3rd.
Right.
Or April 3rd.
Right. Yeah, preferably.
And last year's a great example of that.
Yes, because it's funny. I agree with that. Like, I was pretty team chill out, pretty team A, Purdue was a bit blip, B, we were clearly better than Indiana, so I'm not going to get too worried type of thing. But when you essentially run back Indiana, more or less,
mm-hmm.
you have the exact same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Twice now I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm beginning to question, you know, I'm truly beginning to reassess the long-term long-term ceiling on this team. or the confidence in which they will reach the ceiling that I still do believe is possible. I'm willing to recalibrate on that for the first time. And then as we're sitting here getting ready for the podcast, kind of talking through stuff, you know, I look and I think, okay, I know we had a couple rough stretches last year and some bad losses. Where did those take place? I look here, if you remember, Michigan State had a 3-game losing streak to Purdue, Indiana, and Illinois last year. This happened from Sunday, January 27th to Tuesday, February 5th. We are in that exact same ebb and flow. And listen, from then on out, Michigan State lost exactly 2 games, one to Indiana and then one to Texas Tech.
And we're not saying that'll happen again, but we're definitely saying it is, I think it's, the word is ignorant for us and for anyone based on hard data of the last 20 plus years of Tom Izzo teams.
Yeah.
For us to throw our hands up and say,
we're done.
This is the team. This is the product. And because it's never been the product and it could be. But this would be the exception to the rule.
Yeah, and I think as we look ahead to the week to come, you know, and really the rest of the way, I think what scares most people is they look at the remaining 9 games and you see 6 ranked teams. And the 3 teams that aren't ranked, the games are at Michigan, which they stink. Do make no mistake, they stink. But it's still a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Nebraska, which you cross your fingers and just hope nothing weird happens. And then the final game of the season, at home against Ohio State. Now, that's just today. I mean, Penn State, as we're going to talk about, is flirting with the bottom of the top 25. Illinois still in the 20s as well. So, you know, things can obviously fluctuate, but there's a lot of tough games left. And the scary part, I think, again, for everybody is that they didn't lose these games to the biggest and the best teams. Now, the flip side of that is you still have every opportunity to correct course here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not impossible that this team goes, you know, loses 0-2 games the rest of the way and still wins the Big Ten and still puts himself in an amazing position going into March, which ultimately is what matters.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what's funny is that sometimes we as fans forget that there's a flip side of the coin. Other teams dump their pants when they play us too.
It's true.
You saw Wisconsin absolutely shit the bed against Michigan State. They held on.
Yep.
But man, oh man, did they fall apart. That happens.
Indiana did the same thing.
Indiana fell apart. Now, again, the real issue was in the first half, letting it get too big, right? But, you know, like you said, there are a ton of difficult games left. If you go to teamrankings.com and go to the projections for the remainder, and do it on FPI for ESPN too, for ESPN as well. Michigan State is the most difficult game for every single team remaining.
Yep.
Everyone. It's on them too.
It's a
two-way street, and doesn't mean Michigan State's going to win all those games. I'm saying it is just as hard. In fact, it's harder.
Yeah.
For the other teams. So
yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, it's a gauntlet of a schedule, but it's a really good conference, and you know you gotta, you know, hope that, because you really look around the country, and no other conference is really all that good.
I mean, there's a lot of fun conferences. Like
fun, but
the Big East is, there's some fun at the top of that with, you know, Seton Hall and Villanova, you know, Butler. SEC is kind of fun. You know, if you think
ACC about, has 3 ranked teams at the top.
Big
the top
12 team. Has Baylor and Kansas. And, you know, so right. Like there's some fun out there. But if you, it's not close.
It's not.
There are currently 12 teams with cases to get the NCAA tournament, including Wisconsin. Without 2 starters.
Right.
Still a tournament team.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about the fact they didn't have 2 starters. I think that was the part that really
that
made
was
it
the
hard
damning.
To swallow.
Well, that was the damning part of it. But this isn't making excuses. I'm interested to see how they continue to rally. Sometimes, I think Izzo even said it. He's like, when you back a critter into the corner.
Yeah.
They're going to fight back.
100%.
And how long can that sustain? I don't know.
And again, I think the other advantage is that not only is Michigan State the hardest game for every single team moving forward, but every other team has to play this gauntlet too. It's not like people played all the tough teams early and get the soft schedule late, because there is no soft schedule. Like there's no like soft underbelly of anybody's schedule. It doesn't really exist. It's like statistically, if 12 teams of the 14 are NCAA caliber, then you have two teams that aren't. So your percentages, there's like an 80-something percent chance you're going to play a team that might be playing in March on any given night in the Big Ten. So it's – and also Illinois did us a huge favor by losing to Iowa.
Keep in mind
the next day
that everyone stinks.
That's
and will
point.
Lose on the road. Yeah. It's like clockwork. Yeah. Illinois has had two days of this entire season where they were alone in first place.
Right.
And then they weren't.
It's funny, too, because at the beginning of the season, I think somebody said, you know, Izzo might have said, he said, I think, you know, 5 or 6 losses win the conference. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, wow, that seems...
hedging pretty hard.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, you're really, yeah, hedging your own bet pretty hard here. But right now, it's looking pretty, I mean, I think if anybody has less than 5 losses, it's... If Michigan State comes out of this stretch with less than 2 more losses, my entire tune has changed back to national championship or bust.
So we'll take a break, but we'll come back talking about the Michigan State's chances to win that conference and then some midseason Big Ten awards.
Nice. All right, and we're back.
Hey, we did it. A commercial break instead of just happening
pretty
like
good,
in the past.
Pretty good, we think. Okay.
So percentage chance for Michigan State to win the conference, well, if you go to Bart Torvik in his fun little tool, which is this tool is...
It's John's homepage.
It's bad. I need something else to do with my time. Michigan State, you know, is easily favored to win. They have a 56% chance of sharing the title and a 35% chance of winning it by themselves. And a 92% chance of finishing the top 4. Next closest is Illinois, the 31% chance to share and a less than 15% chance to win outright. Illinois has gotten lucky. Mm-hmm. Our own Paul Fanson, read up on his blog post. There is a luck factor, and it's not just saying, oh, they got lucky. Just when you win more coin flip games than you lose, maybe you are that good, but the stats don't really make it seem, or it doesn't look like that based on your outputs. Illinois is going to lose a few more games here, just based on a few more coin flip games. And then it's really going to come down to Maryland and Iowa. And I'm personally not a believer in Rutgers or Penn State until I see a true product. And so, for me, the true contenders are Maryland and Iowa, if only because Iowa might have the best player in the conference right now.
Yes, and that
which is wild to say.
Leads us nicely into our midseason big awards. And that we kind of came together and did a unanimous agreeance here. I think it's got to be Luka Garza at this point. And
hard to deny.
Now a lot of things can obviously change between the end of this season, now and the end of the season. But I will say, I think the running here is down to 2 or 3 players tops, and Luka Garza right now I think is easily the run. I always call it a runaway, but I think, listen, the guy's averaging 23 and 10.5 almost 2 blocks a game.
It's pretty
and
nice.
Shooting 38% from 3. Like, he's having an objectively incredible season.
And what a jump from last year, kind of unforeseen jump.
Yeah,
to go that far. The only other person outside of our own Cassius Winston that we think has a true opportunity is Daniel Oturu. And frankly, whether it's fair or not, you got to be on a contending team.
Yeah.
And so that might rule out Oturu.
Only other name I might throw in there, and I don't even think we have him on our first team all Big Ten, but the type of guy who's positioned to is Lamar Stevens. Mm. From, I know you're anti-Penn State, but Lamar Stevens from Penn State is averaging, I think, close to 17 points a game. And if they're able to stay in the race, I think he gets... especially if they can go on the road and beat Michigan State this weekend, he gets a long look, I think, from the committee, as it were. Yeah, 16.5 points a game.
Any other folks we thought... Oh, I really like Jalen Smith. I don't think Maryland uses him nearly enough.
They don't. They don't give him the ball.
When I hope they continue that trend when they play Michigan State.
Yeah.
On the outside looking in, we had 3 other names, or a handful of other names. Joe Weiskamp from Iowa.
Yep, Joe Weiskamp, I think, is averaging over 15 points a game. Has really become that nice second player for Iowa. The other ones we wanted to honorable mention were Anthony Cowan, who's from Maryland. Every team's got one, but he is my how is he still in school guy at Maryland. I think the only reason why I'm like, oh, he looks different is he stopped wearing a t-shirt, as we talked about t-shirt guys last week.
Sure.
Finally, I think Marcus Carr from Minnesota, although we haven't really seen the good Marcus Carr against Michigan State in either of the games.
Trust me when I tell you.
Having a good season.
His stats are good. You just haven't seen it. And then did we have one more? Mike Watkins.
I think Mike Watkins has a case. He'll probably be a first or second teamer in the Big Ten, averaging almost 3 blocks a game. He's kind of matured into that defensive presence everyone thought he could be, sort of bringing it on more of a nightly basis nowadays for the Nittany Lions. And between him and Lamar Stevens, who, by the way, is averaging 6.5 and 7 boards a game. Yeah, Mike Watkins nearly averaging a double-double at 10 points and 8.2 rebounds. And averaging 3 blocks and a steal. So he's become that low post guy that they really needed to be taken seriously. But we should talk about the actual first team all Big Ten. We didn't even go through that.
We did. We went through it.
Oh, you didn't mention AO.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, the last guy, AO.
Yeah.
AO Technology.
AO. Wow.
It's a throwback if you...
That's pretty good.
Is Justin Timberlake in...
And 50 Cent.
It just... That song needed to be better. When you get those two guys together,
it's disappointing.
They were at the peaks of their career.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a weird. It was just weird. Mm. I'm still not.
We all let them have the single because we were like, "Well, you both should. You're both."
It's like these two things should be good together. Yeah. We both like these two things, mm-hmm. and then the combination.
It's kind of like chocolate and avocado.
Yeah.
Like I like these two things.
Put these on toast in separate situations.
Together. No. Oh, not great.
I'll eat chocolate on toast.
With avocado?
Nutella. No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
They were together. No. Ayo Dosunmu, who is apparently the best, I guess we'd say clutch player that we've seen to date in the Big Ten.
He's a lead dog.
Not afraid to shoot.
Not afraid to shoot.
He's what we want Rocket to become.
Yes. He's not the best shooter, per se.
But he's the best clutch shooter.
Loves to come up big in big moments. And, he's the type of talent they haven't had in Illinois in some time. So he's doing a lot of good things. Okay, let's talk about Michigan State again.
Okay. We're going to coach of the year, newcomer of the year?
Oh, yeah, wait, shoot. Okay, never mind. We're not talking about Michigan State yet. Coach of the year, we were split on this one. Mm-hmm. John, justifiably, you went with Rutgers own Steve Picciel.
You know what I saw recently? Someone commented on our podcast and asked, one line was, why is it Rutgers? Why do you guys say Rutgers? and I think the answer is they don't deserve the S.
It's better.
They don't deserve the S. You know why they don't deserve the S? Is because because Rutgers.
You don't have to explain it.
Well, Rutgers, in their now sixth year, the conference, winning 20.25% of their games in conference and football and men's basketball.
Yeah, you don't get to be a multiple of anything.
There's only one of you until further notice.
Yeah, we can't handle more than one.
That said, Steve Picciel, nice little ball club he's got going on over there.
This is a job-saving season for our man Steve. Now, another one, and I felt good saying this. The name I threw out there is Brad Underwood. Mm-hmm. I've been banging the table for Brad Underwood for 3 years. 3 years!
Getting it done.
He had me worried last year when they lost a lot of talent and a bunch of guys transferred. But here we are. They are sitting here today, the luckiest team in the league. Not going to hold that against them. Tied with Michigan State at the top of the conference. I am a big fan of his. I don't know that I would love being a fan of the team he coaches, but I like that he I like what he did. Came in, set his style up, and now he's kind of got some talent that can play to it. And I think Illinois is a sleeping giant in the Big Ten.
Speaking of giants, you're newcomer of the year.
My newcomer of the year is Kofi Coburn. First of all, very disappointed he pronounces his last name that way. But second of all, a very large man. I think he gives, again, Illinois in Dosunmu and Coburn has things that they didn't have before. Like you had just a bunch of stuff. You didn't really run a system. Like the John Gross era, you didn't really run a system. You didn't really have a lead dog. You didn't have superior size or talent or anything. Mm-hmm. And now you have talent and size. I mean, Coburn is absolutely massive. watching Thomas Kithier try to guard him was comical. Legitimately made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he has brought an element to them that kind of allows them to play two different ways, you know? They like to run. He's not much of a runner, and Michigan State exploited that the first game.
That's right.
But they don't... If they can't run previously, they couldn't do anything. And now they can at least throw the ball down to Coburn or put up a shot and let him get aboard. So he's a man in the low post. But you had another name. It was probably the guy who's going to the league.
Trace Jackson Davis feels like he is a walking NBA player. And now Kofi looks the part.
Sure.
I think Trace is playing the part. All right, because he's a little more mobile.
Sure.
Get up and down a little bit. Had a great game against Michigan State.
He did.
So he's my newcomer of the year. And frankly, for me, the only reason they are even relevant.
Yeah, I don't know where they'd be without him.
So that's our mid-season Big Ten awards. I'd love to see Xavier Tillman get on my snubs list.
I'll be interested to see how this adjusts from. It'll be interesting to archive this and see it at the end of the year again, because given the slate, Cassius still has every opportunity to win the conference play of the year. Coaches of the year can change. Newcomers. I think newcomers is going to be one of these two, but. You could see some movement here. I mean, asking Garza and Ortur to keep it up the way they have been for a full season is a big ask. So, okay.
So a new team, Penn State. If you haven't watched a lot of Big Ten basketball, you might not know a lot about them. So that's what we're here for. Decent team. I'm not enamored with them, even though Net, I believe, is, and so is KenPom. Currently 16 in KenPom.
Yeah. We talked about another coach who I believe is not getting necessarily the love he deserves. Our man Pat Chambers. 10-year bump.
I'm out.
For old Pat. he's gotten them to – is easily the best team he's ever had, sitting at 16-5. They are 6-4 in the Big Ten, so things have slid a little bit. They were 10-1 heading in. Only loss coming as a 2-pointer neutral court loss to Ole Miss.
Woof.
Yeah, that's not awesome. But – non-con, nothing to really write home about. A win at Georgetown is probably the best of that bunch. But in the Big Ten, you know, they do have four losses. The first came at the hands of Ohio State in December when Ohio State was the hottest team in the world, beat them by 32.
Mm.
But then they followed that up with a win against Maryland, who was number 4 at the time.
That one's worth looking at. Which is a nice win.
They did have a 3-game. They've also beaten Iowa. They beat Ohio State the next time they played them. They beat Indiana. But the 3 games they've lost are at Rutgers, home against Wisconsin, which is a really bad one in my opinion, and then at Minnesota. We talked about Michigan State losing to the soft underbelly of their schedule. This is a much worse, in my opinion, version.
They're the inverse. Yeah, like they're losing to teams they shouldn't and are beating teams maybe they should.
They also shouldn't. Should
yeah, it's odd. So let's give you a little rundown on this team and maybe how that happened. They're winners are streaky. Winners of 4 straight after 3 straight losses. They have three dudes that I think you keep an eye on. Mirion Jones, 6'3 sophomore, is averaging just under 14 points a game. But he's the one that can go off. He is the Taylor Battle. He has 5 20-plus point games this year.
And shoots nearly 40% from 3.
Mm.
Yeah, but then their lead dog, as we talked about, is Lamar Stevens. This dude averages 16.5, 7 boards. He's a true – I think he's today's perfect power forward in that he's 6'7", 6'8", 200-something pounds. Obviously contends on the boards. Averages over a block a game and a steal a game. A really good defensive player. Now, he gets his buckets going to the rack. Like, that's how he scores. He only shoots 25% from 3. Mm. And does turn the ball over 3 times a game. So you can tell he's kind of getting into the trees there. Still manages to shoot almost 46% from the field despite only 25 from deep. That tells me that when he's getting in there, he's scoring a lot and does more of his damage kind of mid-range and close to the rack than anywhere else. I think he will be a particular challenge for the Aaron Henry-Gabe Brown duo. The third guy to really know about is Mike Watkins. We talked about him already. Man has a powerful mustache and is also a very good offensive rebounder and a very good shot blocker. So again, this is your Xavier Tillman matchup and the guy who they need to run bodies at. Now, this is actually kind of a surprisingly deep in minutes played type of team. They have, what, 9 guys that average 12 minutes a game.
Yeah, they run 9 deep, which is 9 deep with not a ton of drop off. The reason that they're able to compete day in and day out is they're one of the best defensive teams in the country.
Yes.
And it's not just Mike Watkins around the rim. They're the 13th best in KenPom defense, I believe, in adjusted defense, and 9th best in the country at defending 2-point shots. So not just Mike Watkins, but just in general making life difficult. For context, Michigan State is 11th, so better than Penn State, and 23rd at defending 2-point shots, so near and around. I think another thing to keep an eye on here is that Penn State does not shoot from three very well. 233rd in the country, that's about 32%. And they don't actually defend the three all that well either, with teams shooting 32.6%. So I don't know. That as Michigan State continues to trend up with shooting threes, that's just an area I've been watching quite a bit. And then the other area to keep an eye on is Cassius Winston's assist-to-turnover ratio. In Big Ten losses, it's 1.08. In Big Ten wins, it's 2.14. It's kind of the stat to keep an eye on. If Cassius Winston is putting up more than 5 assists a game, Michigan State's in good shape. If Cassius Winston is not just turning it over, but really not passing and converting and having to take on the scoring load as well, well, we found ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, I thought to that point, I thought that Izzo had a very interesting quote today in his press conference where he talked about talking to Coach K before last year's Final Four and going over some of MSU's shortcomings. This is a tweet from Kyle Austin. He says, Coach K said, "I've got one way you can win. Keep it in Cassius' hands." Now, we'll see how prescient that comment is.
That's awesome.
I will say that I think you've seen it recently, the ball being taken out of Cassius' hands. He's playing off ball more often, and I think it's to help solve for his because he's such a good shooter, and MSU doesn't have a ton of shooting, and he's a really good off ball shooter. Again, this is where you miss your Travis Trices. I'm serious. Where you need a guy that can get him the ball and also just not be a complete liability on the other end of the floor. You wonder if that might signify a bit of a tenor change from Izzo, and maybe that experiment is not. I'll be interested if he uses that strategy more piecemeal, like where Michigan State's not making shots, or maybe they have a little bit of a lead, or you know, when he tries to use Cassius off the ball instead of just kind of doing it with, from what I can tell as a casual observer, not any real rhyme or reason. So this game, though, it's a home game. Yeah. Listen, you think we're being conservative now. They lose this game at home to Penn State, then we're all doing a big readjustment. So I think this is one that they – I'm not going to sit here and call any game a must-win at this point, but you're tied for the lead in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. We know how difficult the Big Ten is. This is a home game. Mm-hmm. You got to protect home court. It's not a must-win, but it's a got to win.
Yeah, for me, and until proven otherwise, Penn State, and for, I guess, Rutgers too, I'm out.
Yeah.
Until I see it, right?
Fair.
And so, should be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to see how Michigan State rebounds after a disappointing game over in Madison. And then this weekend, rivalry week, Michigan State heads to Ann Arbor. I think everybody knows the drill on this Michigan team. We can quickly gloss over it, but I think the biggest thing to watch for in that game is Isaiah Livers. Re-aggravated his groin injury last week. Is he back? And if he is he at 100%? They had a nice neutral game win over Rutgers recently with Xavier Simpson playing, but again, without Livers. How good can Michigan be? I don't know. And I think it all revolves around Livers.
I would agree. Well, Livers is the only thing that makes them
tournament.
Yeah, more than a last four in tournament team. I don't think that's that disparaging comment. It's fine.
No, that's not even being mean.
I mean, just... Michigan State sent them into a tailspin. They lost. They beat Purdue and then lost four in a row after that. They bounced back, gotten, you know, they've played Nebraska and Rutgers. Teams you should win, even if you're bad. Games you should win. And then the Rutgers win is a nice win because it was at MSG, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, they have a, talk about a big week. Tomorrow night, if you're listening to this tonight, they play Ohio State at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that is where things get interesting for how concerned you should be about this game, because if MSU loses to Penn State and they beat Ohio State, all of a sudden, it's not as comfortable a feeling. But if things go the way that we hope they will, maybe it's a little bit better. You know, I don't really know what else to say about Michigan aside from if Livers isn't playing, I don't know where they find points. And if Michigan State is playing an average offensive game, they're getting 75 to 80 points in a game. I don't know where Michigan's finding that without Isaiah Livers.
I'll say this. I thought the same thing about Wisconsin.
Yep.
And if Michigan State, or excuse me, if Michigan loses to Ohio State, you have another critter in the corner.
True. Very true.
So I will learn a lot about both teams on Saturday because, I don't trust Michigan. I don't think any, even Michigan fans trust Michigan. I'm not even throwing shade. I'm just saying home game, if you lose at home to Ohio State, things get really dicey mm-hmm. as far as are they making the tournament. Michigan State becomes a must win.
Yeah. It becomes the rallying cry.
That's moment. It. You put all the line in the sand there.
Yeah. So are we rooting for them to beat Ohio State?
No, never. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
I don't care.
Back into the corner.
Good.
Do we care?
Good.
Yeah, doesn't matter. I will say, in looking at their stats, and we'll move on, they do have five guys averaging double digits, which is interesting. And they're actually averaging 76 points a game. And I do wonder how inflated that is given the early season success. And Isaiah Livers is one of those who's averaging 13 points a game. So you take him out of there and you just wonder where – I just don't know where the offense is coming from consistently for them. And I think, again, you find out a lot tomorrow night. Regardless, you know, Michigan State – if they want, again, if you, it's not over if you lose one of these games, but it gets really, your margin for error is already really slow, really slim. You lose one of these two games where you're the better team in both, you should be the better team in both games.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder how long their Big Ten championship window really stays open.
Well, so Michigan, you know, like you're right. The problem for them is on defense. I mean, they're getting enough points, but they just can't stop anybody. They're 10th in the conference in adjusted defense. They can't shoot three. They're shooting 29% in conference, and they can't defend the three. That's that.
Well, they don't have an identity. They don't do anything well.
And they also don't get to the free throw line.
At all. And so, when they get there, they can't shoot it. Yeah, they don't really do anything overly well.
What do you do?
What do you do here?
Well,
you
they
have
don't
to
know.
Figure out what Chunky does. So, yeah, that's the week. I think MSU, you know, hopefully comes out of it 2-0. We'll see.
Let's take a quick look around the Big Ten and nationally as the weeks from the past and weeks to come. Rutgers showed up, beat Purdue last Tuesday, 70-63. My only question to Purdue is, do you care? Do you care?
Another team that doesn't do anything well.
The most apathetic team I've ever seen. They just sometimes don't care. And other times really care.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's a team that's dealing with not having Carson Edwards. And the hangover is taking quite some time. It's a 32-year-old after a long weekend out.
Yeah, and you think about taking not just Monday off, but coming in late Tuesday.
Yeah, you might sleep. You might be like a halftime Tuesday guy. You might be a call-off Monday, work from home Tuesday.
You're Googling, can you die from a hangover?
It's true.
And you're just like, is it ever happened? I just need to know. Maryland took down Iowa 82-72. I think it was a good decision that we took a meeting with Maryland last week.
It's true. The meeting is looking like it's bearing fruit. We're approaching the RFP portion of this discussion.
They're not the only ones receiving the RFP.
No, but they're on the short list.
Yeah, the request for proposal will go out to them, amongst others.
Amongst others.
We made that crystal clear to
yes,
them.
Yes, they are aware.
You know, we're not leading them on, but we're happy.
We're looking for their best. We're looking to be impressed. But
we're impressed open today. Today, the capabilities we're presentation was strong.
The theory is strong. I would agree.
So moving on to Iowa, beating Illinois 72-65 on Sunday evening. Everyone can calm down. Mm-hmm. And that's me to the Michigan State crowd. Illinois, and I can't wait to get this to be on a soundbite and played for at my funeral. Miss me with being worried about Illinois as the Big Ten title contender. Illinois? This is me doing Soldier Boy about Drake.
Drake?
Illinois?
Yeah.
That Illinois?
I would agree. No. Well, see, here's what it says about the Big Ten. No, here's what it says about the Big Ten is that every team is fatally flawed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. And Illinois is as their flaw is to me as fatal as anyone's. They can't shoot.
Dude, Michigan State beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
They won by 20.
Right. And I look at other teams and like I'm more worried about Maryland, and I don't trust Maryland at all.
Maryland, we said at the beginning of the year, Maryland was the only team that we looked at the roster and said they can compete.
Yeah, and then I look at Mark Turgeon and I realize that he's never gotten out of his roster the talent that he's had on it. It's so
you facts. Know. Yeah. All right, let's take a look at nationally last week. We highlighted a few games. Virginia beat Florida State, a team we were considering we didn't want to play.
Hey, listen. Currently, Florida State and their 37-man roster is losing at home to a under 500 North Carolina team.
Can't take them seriously, folks.
Just saying. They do have a Zion-ish framed player in Raekwon Gray, who I didn't know existed until tonight.
Let's not.
But he is a hefty fella.
Let's not confuse the talent.
No, but he's a big one.
I made a mistake, everybody. Last week I said, let's watch that San Diego State at New Mexico game. And San Diego State won by almost 30.
Yeah, they are apparently pretty darn good.
Yeah, sure. Go be the number one seed in the West. Don't care.
Yeah.
See you.
Would love to be in that bracket.
No, they'll be the number one seed.
Exactly.
No, and we'll be nowhere near it. And this is a San Diego State team that loses to, I'm licking my finger, I'm putting it in the air, and I will say they feel like they would lose to Penn State in the 8-9 game.
Wow. Okay. I like that. I was going to go somewhere with they're higher than this right now, but like a West Virginia.
Oh, in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, like a Sweet 16.
1-4 loss.
A 1-4.
In a waxing.
In it. Right. But like getting dusted.
A waxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like they might be an Iowa State.
They are not
Tyrese
making the tournament.
Halliburton?
Not making the tournament. All right, well. They stink.
I'm just saying that's the caliber. That's like the type of team. Okay. Or one of these rando Big Ten teams, like a Penn State.
That's what I'm
saying.
Definitely do it. All right. Auburn took down Kentucky at home, 75-66. Might take a meeting with Auburn. I'm thinking about taking a meeting.
Auburn's knocking on the door. They're this young company that doesn't have a big client list right now.
Yeah, I know.
But the decks, but I, look, they're nice when I, you listen to
and
them.
And then they remind you they do have a blue chip.
One
blue chip client. They went to the Final Four last year.
That's true.
They beat Virginia.
Yeah, they've proven they can come
like
through.
They didn't just beat Kentucky. Like, remember, there was like a follow-up
call. Yeah, like
call.
They beat Virginia.
They won.
Right, yeah.
They did
it. It's true. So, I mean, again,
Bruce,
the capabilities deck. It's impressive.
Johnny Calipari may have met his match
baby.
In bagging.
I just want those two. I want to go to a barbecue with both of them. That's all I want.
They hate each other because they're the same person.
I know. I love it.
Yeah.
It's Barney and Fred, the Flintstones.
Wow. We talked about the Big East a bit. Creighton took down Villanova at Villanova handily, 76-61. The Big East standings are a mess. They're Big Ten light.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to like if you find yourself looking for some entertainment, any Big East game.
If you find yourself hoping to be surprised by who is actually in a conference, just turn on a Big East. Just turn on FS1 on a Saturday. You're like, huh.
Look at that.
They're in the Big East.
Creighton, a decent team all of a sudden. DePaul, 1-8 in the conference, but not awful. They're not... they're 1-8, but bad, but not like the 1-8 from years past bad.
Romeo Weems.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made.
Kind of dodged a bullet there. Maybe. All right, let's take a look at upcoming Big Ten games the weekend nationally. First, tonight, if you're listening on a Tuesday, Maryland at Rutgers. Huge road week for Maryland. Tell us a lot, because not only do they play at Rutgers on Tuesday, on Friday they travel to Illinois.
Yeah, that turns into a real big one. So, you know, this Rutgers team has actually won some big games, and it's one that you no longer look at this and you're like, oh, this is a bunny. This is like, oh, we actually kind of got a prep here. Can't just, as they say, you don't just waltz into the rack
and
expect to come out with a W.
Indiana knows
all about it. So it's a tough one right now for Maryland. So yeah, you got to go take care of business.
Yeah, like I said, back to back. Illinois has to win this game if they want a banner.
There's got to be some type of name for Maryland and Rutgers when they play each other. Like, because they came in at the same time to the Big Ten, and people will still forget, I would assume by the minute that both of them are in the Big Ten. Remember, like, the civil conflict?
Yeah.
UConn and Central Florida? I think we need some type of name.
It's called the Rutland Trophy. The game sucks. Yes. It's
the Butland Trophy?
Butland Trophy.
Yeah, man.
Feels good.
I mean,
Saturday, can't miss TV when Purdue plays at Indiana. Love it. And these two are playing for the tournament.
One program that, listen, we've heard the term little brother thrown around a lot in our years here. Mm-hmm. That dynamic is exemplified nowhere more than this one. Indiana, I don't think they consider Purdue a thing.
Oh, wow.
I think Purdue hate,
I'm with you on that. Them. I got you.
I mean, it's the same way, like, I think Indiana looks at Purdue and they're like, yeah, they're in the state. We should beat them. We beat them all the time type of thing. Which isn't necessarily true.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's that
and Indiana's
arrogance.
Out there looking at Kentucky,
right,
thinking they matter more. Yeah,
it's that arrogance dynamic. And instead, it's not always that way. And I think Purdue, though, just absolutely hates Indiana.
I believe that. Okay. And then nationally, I just wanted to line up Saturday for you, everyone, because Rivalry Week is fun. I'm just going to walk through them. LSU at Auburn in a game that very much matters for the SEC Championship. Seton Hall at Villanova. That Seton Hall win is a win that keeps on giving.
No kidding.
Virginia at Louisville. Louisville might win the ACC. Virginia needs it to stay relevant on the right side of the bubble. Duke at North Carolina, always fun.
A game, no matter what.
Especially because it's at North
Carolina.
Cole
Anthony is back.
And it's at North Carolina, yep, which makes it a little more interesting. And finally, Gonzaga at St. Mary's. Let's see if the Zags can be tested.
Yeah, at this point, it's not looking like the Zags are going to get much of a test very often in their schedule, but this is one of the few.
Tell you what, Zags versus San Diego State for the Elite Eight, just start them there.
Yeah, that's fine.
And the winner gets the Elite Eight.
Also, a Sweet 16 game.
Yep, and just peg him there, and then everyone's walk away happy.
That's fine.
Everyone else does everything else they have to do, right? Just save each other time.
I would agree with that.
Except for, wait, Penn State gets a shot at San Diego State.
That's the play-in.
Yeah,
the play-in. I agree with that. I fully agree with that.
Okay, good. I'm glad we could solve that for everybody.
Yeah, you're all welcome.
Anything else for you?
You know, I'm just really happy we made it through over an hour without talking about Michigan State football. That was really nice.
They did just pick up a recruit.
Fine. We'll do it.
Sebastian A. Brown, who is 1,000% committed. Dual two-way player from Detroit Cass Tech. Currently not having no stars.
Who needs them? They also did get my newest, thickest boy, Donovan Eaglin, the running back from Texas. Had to mention him. Mm-hmm. Potentially the new, the second member of the big boy bandwagon. We'll see. He has to earn it. But 5'11", 225 as a high school senior.
Ooh.
Baby.
Not we missing many are, meals.
You, yeah. Oh, that's a meeting I took immediately.
He's
sight unseen. I haven't seen a second of his tape.
Don't need
I don't
it.
Really want to.
I don't want to
I saw
ruin
him in
it.
The jersey and I saw the numbers and I said, I said,
swipe right.
Accept. Yeah. Except I'm jamming my finger on the mouse to accept that meeting. Recurring. Recur this meeting. Every Saturday, please.
Status.
Yes. All right, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. Thank you. Yes, you're welcome for the noted commercial break. We did pretty good. So we will catch you guys next week. For John, this is Austin, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.